This is the third section of Maximum Memory Power, copyright 2006 by John Williams. All rights are reserved. This audio is only available with the Maximum Memory Power ebook from eBook Wholesalers. Tips and shortcuts. The most important tip: please ask your partner or a close friend to learn the systems with you. You don't need to study every part of it together, but you can help each other by preparing lists for the other person to memorize and recall, checking each other's progress, and you can supply valuable feedback and especially lots of encouragement. These systems which you get in this ebook will help you with more complex tasks. But the tips and shortcuts in this section will help you with simpler everyday memory missteps, such as forgetting to post a letter or leaving your handbag or briefcase in someone's office. These mistakes are very common, so please don't start worrying that something is wrong with your memory or your mental power in general. You probably just didn't set up the best conditions for doing the task when you put down the envelope, briefcase, or handbag. That's not surprising because we're taught lots of information, though nowhere near enough to fill our brains, but not many schools teach us how to store and recall that information for efficient use. It's also sad but true that many people push through their day in a fog of self-interest and distractions. We may put a large check in an envelope, then put the envelope down without focusing on where that we put it, because our mind is full of the football match which we saw last night. Better focus gives better results. The relative importance of those two things doesn't govern which one that we concentrate on. We retain the most secure image of whatever we decide to focus on, and that's usually the more enjoyable task rather than the important one. We can't do a thing about yesterday's match result, but the result of misplacing the check or having it arrive late at the company which we owe the money to could be very significant. Give due attention, that's 100%, to the important tasks, and then you'll have plenty of time to review the football match later, because you won't have to rush about trying to find that check. It's very well known that we humans have trouble concentrating on just one thing for very long. Young children often have an attention span of maybe 90 seconds, which is why performers in television and magic shows for them always have something new happening and also repeat the same phrases and actions more than once. 90 seconds is actually longer than the time which some marketing experts say that most of us take to decide whether we'll look around a website or click onto a different one. The website owners are likely to get less than 10 seconds to grab our attention and stop us clicking away. They don't really put those pop-ups and jiggly pictures there to annoy us. It's because they're what will get many people to react positively in that first few seconds on their site. In a theatre or other event, adult audiences will usually give a speaker or performer up to 20 minutes before turning their attention to their packet of crisps, but he or she must try to lock down their interest hard in that time. Break through the fog. In our daily lives, we probably do many things without them registering deeply at all. Obviously, when you start to focus on any particular task more closely, you will get better results. Keep doing that for a couple of weeks and you have a new habit, and it's a very positive one. Changing from your previous ways will not be as easy as it is for me to suggest it here, but I'm confident that you'll succeed if you approach it in a positive manner. Do you remember the task you started a couple of pages back? That's right, putting an important check in an envelope and trying to ensure that you remembered to take it with you and posted it at the first opportunity. The next step, as an extra support to your improving focus, is to associate the letter containing the check with the place that you put it. You can make a sharp mental picture of the check greatly enlarged, covering your desk. because the important point is that you must remember to take the letter with you and post it. You could make a mental picture of a giant check on the back of your front door, or have the check stuck in the lock of the front door so that the picture will pop into your mind when you are locking the door to go out. Try to eliminate extra actions in handling important matters. When you write the letter and try to attach the check, you might find that your stapler is empty. So you put the letter aside until you make time to find the packet of staples and refill the machine. Or you can't find a stamp in your desk, so you leave the letter there until you buy more stamps. If necessary, set aside the necessary time to organize your desk and stationery. That alone will save you time every week in the future. Now you can write the letter, staple the check to it, put the stamp on the envelope, and put the letter in your briefcase or bag, ready for you to post. You could still use a mental picture like I described before to help you remember to actually post the letter. The did I dilemma? When you leave your home, do you sometimes quickly duck back to see if you really did turn off the stove or the iron, lock the cat door and put out the garbage bin? This is another common worry, which can become very stressful for just a few people, but it doesn't really do anyone much good. And just imagine how much productive time we could recover if everyone found out a simple way to never suffer the "did I?" dilemma again. They can fix it forever just by buying this book. If you think you know the answer, that I'm going to say that the solution is a new mental image for each task you must do before you leave your home in the morning or your office after the day's work, you're very sharp. But please don't skip the rest of this section. There are a couple of tweaks that might help you. Let's say that you are going out and you have to do all these things just before you leave. Switch on the answering machine. Lock the cat in the shed. Switch off the television at the wall plug. Put the garbage bin in the collection area. For each of those tasks, you should make a mental picture. I'd prepare a mental picture for each well before I did any of the tasks. Maybe something like these. Your phone going crazy because it's not being answered. Your lovely cat shredding your best curtains with its enormous sharp claws. Your television with smoke pouring out of it, and your garbage bin overflowing in your lounge room with rubbish falling onto your best carpet. When you complete each task, change the relevant picture. Picture your answering machine throwing out dollars or hearts, depending on what sort of messages you are hoping to get. Your cat sleeping happily in its basket. You did put its basket and water bowl in the shed as well, didn't you? Your television with the power cord plug resting on top of it, and your garbage bin being emptied into the garbage truck. Those pictures sound crazy, especially the one about your cat sleeping in its basket while you're away, but they're the sort of image which will stick in your mind and help you to change "did I?" to "I know I did" every time. Physical reminders. A friend of mine uses physical reminders whenever possible. He'll push that important letter into the handle of his briefcase, or he'll put the edge of the letter inside the spectacle case he has in the briefcase for his reading glasses. When he gets out his glasses, he can't miss the letter, and he posts it at the next mailbox which he sees. When you put down your briefcase or umbrella in a store or somebody's office, are you sure that you will remember to take it with you when you leave? While you might, thousands of people leave these and other important items behind in public transport, libraries, sports centres, etc. every day of the week. They may have been stressed, distracted, or just not paying enough attention to where they put their property. And many are affected by more than one of those factors at the same time. With a great concentration on security these days, leaving a parcel or bag in a public area may cause trouble and mean, at the very least, that you never see it again. To help you to remember to collect your property before you leave, make a mental association between the last thing you'll do in that place and the item you have to collect. A mental picture of the exit door with an out-of-proportion bag or umbrella across it works well. You could picture yourself vigorously trying to open the door, but there is a huge bag blocking it. If making these images seem silly, please understand two important points. One, the pictures work, and you can stop making them if you develop your recall to the point where you don't need them anymore. Two, the pictures made are never seen by anyone, so you can go really wild. The sharper the impression you put in your mind, the better results you will get. The next section covers the most popular and proven memory support systems. I use them and know that they work for me and many other people, but I do not rely on them alone. I know a few people that do so to a very great extent. But I also use a pocket diary for appointments and anniversaries, and a tabbed index book for all the passwords and other information for my websites. I also memorize all this information. I rarely have to consult the written records, but they could be useful if I fall under another taxi and someone else has to get my newsletters out. Having the diary and password book is just cheap insurance. Lower stress levels also help me to remember better. Repetition. In old-style education, before there were more theories than students, people were taught by rote, repetition of the same information, and sometimes by rhyme. We all learned to recall how many days there were in each month with 30 days has September, and the notes of the treble clef with every good boy deserves favour. It wasn't exciting, but it seemed to work pretty well. You may find that repetition works well for you if you're a person that finds it easier to retain information which you hear to a greater degree than what you read. You can put your information on an audio tape if there is a lot of it, then play it back to yourself shortly before you need the information. Some people can improve their mental recording by just repeating the information about 3 times. Saying that aloud really works much better than just mumbling it to yourself. Bunching. This is a tactic which works for many people that need to remember just a few long numbers and have an urgent need to store them for a short period. Chop each of your long numbers into a series of shorter ones. Use the format of your telephone numbers if that's convenient and easy for you. But even just cutting, say, a 12-digit number into 3 segments with 4 digits in each will make it easier to absorb and recall. I'll finish this section with a bit of information about sleep learning and hypnosis. Some people believe that you can absorb information when you are in a deep restorative sleep. They invest in audio tapes to improve various aspects of their lives, including their recall of important information. Then they play these tapes through a speaker under or next to their pillow through the night. I have not had any success with this myself, nor have I seen any reliable research which confirms or even completely disproves these ideas. I think that deep sleep is probably not the best time to absorb information from outside of yourself. I think that's a time when your physical systems are resting and restoring themselves, while your mental faculties process the information, both positive and negative, which you pushed into them during your waking hours. I have had more success by listening to recorded material while totally relaxed, leaving the answering machine or another person to handle all interruptions. I'm not really lazy, I just do a lot of this sort of learning. You know that stress and distractions reduce the quality of your mental impressions, which are the basis of your ability to recall most things effectively. I suggest that you try setting aside a period of, say, no more than half an hour a few times a week when you can listen to your taped information without stress or interruption. You may think that's too much time. You just can't do it. I understand that some readers may have difficulty with that at first, but I strongly believe it is really worth the effort to rearrange things so that you can devote the time to these sessions. You will get results fairly quickly, and they will be much better than you get now with longer sessions in a location and at times where you suffer more distractions. Cramming information into your head in long late-night sessions just before an important test and at the expense of your regular sleep is likely to give you negative results too. The shorter, more frequent and stress-free sessions which I recommend will better repay you for the time and effort to organize them. The relaxed, drowsy state which I recommend, rather than deep sleep, is similar to the induced state which people have when they're under light hypnosis. It may be that properly supported subjects could benefit from sessions of therapeutic hypnosis so that they could absorb large amounts of information and recall it more easily. I won't explore that area in this book because I don't want to encourage anyone that might just dabble in it. Hypnosis can be a useful, powerful technique in the right hands, but has the potential for considerable harm in it. I have discussed this subject with several experienced professionals who use hypnotism, and other people who have been hypnotized. I have been hypnotized myself. It was a pleasant experience, and there were no after effects or concerns of any kind. But I believe that only experienced and reputable people with a successful, verifiable track record should be allowed to hypnotize anyone. Inexperienced, careless, or devious people can cause lasting harm, even if they have the best of intentions. Please, think carefully before you let anyone hypnotize you. If you decide to try self-hypnosis or deep meditation, which have similarities, always make sure that you first set up a simple way to bring yourself back to the waking state with a very positive frame of mind at any time. I also strongly recommend that you ensure that your partner or another trusted person is nearby, though not necessarily in the same room, and that you arrange beforehand that they will check on you at a prearranged time. These are basic precautions, but too easily forgotten when we try something new. I look forward to meeting you again in the next section of Maximum Memory Power.